Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, dedicated to supporting the state's health with doctoral and master's degrees in nursing, counseling, nutrition, and more. Viterbo.edu/graduate.
This is Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll get a roundup of the top news stories in Wisconsin from the past week with WPR news guy Noah Ovshinsky.
But first, we're talking about new research about curing addiction and the promise of a pill that could do just that.
Alcoholism is a disease that affects millions of Americans every year, and statistics show that 60% or more of alcoholics and drug addicts relapse within a year of trying to end their addiction.
But now we have some evidence that medication could help ease that challenge of quitting. Here to break down this new research for us is Barbara Mason. She is a professor and co-director of the Pearson Center for Alcoholism and Addiction Research at the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, California. Barbara, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, the first thing I want to talk about is the research here on how addiction changes the brain and then some of the difficulties that has posed for, I guess, so-called traditional ways of treating addiction.
Yes, we've often focused on the pleasurable effects of substances of abuse. But what happens in vulnerable individuals is with chronic heavy use, the effects cease to be pleasurable. Instead, people are using them to feel normal because when they stop using, the stress systems in the brain become activated, and this can be experienced as anxiety, irritability, dysphoria, problems sleeping, severe problems sleeping, and any of these symptoms can trigger a return to drinking or drug use. So we've really begun to pay attention to the role of the brain that's involved in the stress response when people try to quit or cut down. And as that being a factor that keeps people linked into the cycle of relapse that tends to characterize addiction and alcoholism.
So you started a study, as I understand it, on medication that could treat some of the stressful effects of addiction. So how did that study work?
The study was a 12-week-long trial that involved 150 men and women living in the greater San Diego community who are struggling with alcohol dependence, and they were assigned randomly to either get high dose or low dose of gabapentin or placebo, and everybody got weekly individual counseling because that is what most people who come in for treatment for alcoholism receive. And we wanted to see if gabapentin had an effect above and beyond counseling with placebo, and whether the higher dose of gabapentin had a greater effect than the lower dose, which would lend further support to the drug really having an effect on alcoholism and those related symptoms of craving and mood and sleep disturbance.
So tell me about gabapentin, because before this story, I had not heard of it, and yet I understand it's a drug that's been around for some time.
Gabapentin has been FDA approved for 20 years now, first as an anticonvulsant and then later for the treatment of neuropathic pain. It is widely used in primary care, which is exciting because there are three drugs FDA approved for alcoholism, but they're rarely used outside of specialty settings, such that fewer than 9% of American alcoholics ever receive a prescription for one of these FDA-approved treatments, whereas gabapentin is used quite frequently in primary care where alcoholics often enter the medical system. So we're hopeful that our findings might result in many more people struggling with alcohol problems getting treated.
So, yeah, let's go back to that study. What were the results of those 150 people who were being treated?
We found what we call significant linear dose effects on all of the outcomes studied. And what that means is that the high-dose gabapentin group were four times more likely to be abstinent for the whole 12 weeks of study, not have a single drink, than those treated with placebo, and the lower dose falling in between the high dose and placebo. Similarly, the high dose was twice as likely to have no heavy drinking days over the 12-week period than placebo, with 900 falling in between. And we had similar effects on our measures of mood, sleep, and craving. And so what this showed was that gabapentin was as effective or more effective than FDA-approved treatments for cutting down or quitting drinking, but it had the unique advantage in people who were cutting down and quitting or quitting to also improve their mood, sleep, and reduce their craving while they were cutting down, instead of people without this form of treatment actually having worse sleep disturbance in early recovery if they weren't on gabapentin. So it really had a very unique profile of benefits for people coming into treatment for alcohol dependence, and that especially in the 1,800 milligram per day dose, the high dose condition, people were more successful at cutting down or quitting drinking and also showed greater improvement in their mood, sleep, and craving than did people treated with placebo and counseling alone. So those were the benefits. And we also didn't have any real downsides because our people treated with gabapentin didn't have any side effects that weren't also present in the placebo group, you know, the usual headache and cold symptoms, et cetera. There were no serious drug-related adverse events. And importantly, gabapentin is not metabolized in the liver, which is important because the liver is one of the first organs to be damaged by alcohol in people who have chronic heavy alcohol use. So we were very excited about these results because gabapentin is an FDA-approved drug. It has a very large safety experience because it is a commonly prescribed drug for other indications in primary care. And it showed these advantages in terms of its effects on either helping people to quit drinking entirely or to drink at a much lower level than is associated with the hazards of drinking, and to reduce the risk of these triggers for relapse involving sleep, mood, and craving. So all in all, it had a very promising profile as a potential new treatment for alcohol dependence.
So is this something that is going to, a two-part question, is this something that's going to bear further study? And then secondly, does it work on other addictions as well? We've been talking about alcohol, but there's lots of other things to be addicted to.
Exactly. So I'll take your two-part question one by one. On the good news side, gabapentin is in generic formulations. It's made by multiple generic companies, which makes it quite affordable. I know at a local discount pharmacy, the 1,800 milligram a day dose, week supply costs less than $10 a week because of it being in generics. On the other hand, there's no commercial incentive for any one generic company to bear the considerable expense and investment of time and resources that are involved in doing the work that's required for FDA approval. But because it is available by prescription now for other indications, physicians can evaluate the weight of the evidence. Our study, because of the dose-ranging design and the sample size is perhaps the most persuasive, but other laboratories have also had positive proof of concept studies, and there are also animal and human laboratory studies that all consistently show a benefit of gabapentin for the treatment of alcohol dependence and alcohol-related sleep disturbances. So there is a body of evidence, but whether it will ever be brought forward for a new use approval by the FDA of an already approved drug that's in generic formulation is open to question. Now, and it may involve other forms of support, perhaps NIH, but that's kind of above my pay grade.
Okay, fair enough.
As a scientist. But I will answer the second part of your question. As a scientist, we reported results of a 50-patient proof-of-concept study of gabapentin treatment of cannabis dependence and had very similar positive results with gabapentin decreasing both the quantity and frequency of cannabis use while at the same time improving sleep, mood, and craving.
All right, Barbara, I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there because of time, but thanks so much for being with us today. That was Barbara Mason, professor and co-director of the Pearson Center for Alcoholism and Addiction Research at the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, California.